What is your opinion on the roots of the most recent school shooting in Connecticut? Was it insanity or some form of nihilism? Well, in a concrete case, this is outside of the issue of province of philosophy. I don't know that individual concretely and specifically, so I can't say what was his specific motivation. And let's just suppose he did hold a nihilism. That could be one possibility, but it's not necessary. Just because he engaged in mass destruction, he could just as well have been, as far as philosophy is concerned, a religious, fanatic who's part of a cult and who would be M2 in my terminology, not D2. So from this, you could not judge, and he may have no ideas at all in any coherent sense. He may be what they call insane. I don't regard insanity of the type manifested here as exculpatory. In other words, it doesn't mean, well, the poor guy should be given a treatment in a home of rehabilitation till the end he lives. If you can establish, as to me from the newspapers, it's likely that he was full of a repressed hatred and that it seems from little that I could see that you can infer that he was motivated by envy or by exclusion by others who wouldn't give him their approval, then he's, quote, insane, but he should be treated as sane and be responsible for what he did. And obviously, in my judgment, that should be not a life sentence, but the death penalty. There are some monstrous motivations that don't therefore mean the person is insane. Some of these mass shooters, according to what I read, is that they write in advance that what their goal is the posthumous fame they will have from the method of committing suicide. That is, quote, crazy, but nevertheless, if the person is captured, he deserves to get his wish and die. Now, leaving aside an individual case, as a philosopher, I can observe this much. There is a progression of these mass incidents across time, across the last five or six decades, one horrific mass slaughter of this kind after another. To my knowledge, there was no such thing in the 19th century, perhaps sometime occasional rare, but it's certainly not anything that one would think of as a cultural phenomenon. If a person in that period, let us call that generally the period of still of rationality, was full of hatred and envy, the very strong chance would be that because of the cultural, philosophical atmosphere, he would be ashamed of this feeling. He would feel guilty. He would repress it, try never to let it be expressed rather than act out on it because he would feel the weight of the whole moral premises of the society condemning him. But this kid and his like has been brought up with immorality is wrong, morality is subjective, whatever you want is good for you, whatever you feel, that's what good is, etc. And there are no restraints on his feelings. I think in that fundamental sense, a stray psychosis is not a result of philosophy, but it is not a cultural regularity either. When it becomes that, then I believe that the corruption of morality is the basic issue. Now, a word about guns. Of course, it's obvious, and I have nothing original to say about this. It is ludicrously irrational to blame guns for this tragedy. I listen to a lot of conservative talk radio, and I have to say that on this point, the conservatives have overwhelmingly excellent arguments. If you have any questions about that, I refer you to some of the past podcasts of Mark Levin, L-E-V-I-N, whom I regard as far and away the best conservative radio talk show host. See, I don't agree with everything, but he is without doubt the best, and some of his podcasts have truly unanswerable points in regard to gun control. Here's one that I thought was very interesting. He said, if you think giving government control is going to affect the possession and use of firearms by criminals, we have already got a massive experiment. All jails are 100% controlled by government, And of course, in them, gun trade flourishes. They cannot do anything to stop it. And it's the exact parallel to the war on drugs in society, prohibition of alcohol in the country. If it's something that people want that does not in itself involve like murder or some crime, then if the government bans it, all that happens is the criminals get to have a monopoly on selling it and on possessing it. And it's actually its prohibition which started the mafia, which made it the Cosa Nostra, which made it possible. And of course, you see the drug lords and what they're doing all over, including in Mexico. All of that is made possible by the attempt to control. And gun control is going to lead to just exactly the same thing. Now, I have a little quote that I think is, I want another little point here. I think that there's a definite motive involved in the push for gun control, that it is not just like a drug control or prohibition. I think it's purposeful to disarm the country, the result of which would be the futility of any attempt at creating another American revolution. I'll say a bit about that in a moment, but I believe that this is the conscious motive at the top of the gun control movement, the real instigators and the passionate drivers of it. Now, if you think this is paranoid on my part, I think time will tell. Now, I want to give a quote here from Ayn Rand. I believe this is 1980 on gun control. She takes it very casually or lightly like this. Quote, "I have given gun control no thought at all. And offhand, I would say, no, the government shouldn't control guns except in very marginal forms." And I interject here. Her point, which to me is very reasonable, was there comes a point in a continuum from small handguns on through the atomic bomb, where the government, as the agency of preventing the initiation of force, can step in and say, from X point, this weapon can't be used for any purpose compatible with an individualist free society. And at that point, they can ban it. And I must also add, there is no way for a philosopher to say where that line is to be drawn. Semi-automatic or automatic, I don't know, and it's not within the province of philosophy to know. That comes under the philosophy of law. All I can say is it would have to be arbitrary, but the fact that it would be arbitrary does not make it irrational, as we have discussed in many other contexts, where there is a continuum and a line is clear, but we can't say exactly where. You can put it anywhere within that continuum. And we discussed the example of the beard. Between being clean shaven and having a beard, how many hairs is the difference? I've already covered that. Now I continue with Ayn Rand. "I don't think this issue is very important," she said, "because I don't think it is in physical terms that the decisions and the fate of this country will be determined. If this country falls apart altogether, if the government collapses bankrupt, your having a handgun in your pocket isn't going to save your life. What you would need is ideas, other people who share those ideas, and fighting towards a proper civilized government, not handguns for personal protection." I agree with that. And I would say certainly, I'm now making my comment on that, certainly guns are not sufficient for protection. But I think it's clear that they might, under certain circumstances, become necessary. By themselves, they're not will not protect you, but in conjunction with the right ideas, they may be a further necessary fact. Suppose a country, a large number of people in the country, rejects the establishment and finds that there is no way to change it by vote, by persuasion, etc., no way except by armed uprising by revolution. Now that theoretically can certainly happen where the uprising is rational and the establishment is irrational. In a case like that, weapons are certainly an essential of those who want to overthrow the government. And if you then, in advance, have all the guns registered and controlled, that would be a real obstruction to such an uprising and even a disaster. The government would have in advance knowledge of where the opposition is, what weapons they hold. The rebels would be completely vulnerable. And of course, part of the gun control would be ultimate prohibition, elimination of them, either through confiscation or through regulation, which makes them practically useless. Now, if we live in a peaceful, regular, rational society, even if a mixed economy, then I think it's absolutely true the government has to at least draw a line and ban certain types of weapons, as I've indicated. But if you live in a revolutionary context, then it is a necessity. And this is my main reason for opposing gun control. It's not that guns are property and therefore you have a right to them, because, as I say, certain kind of property you don't have a right to. Now, I believe that what I have been saying was the Founding Fathers' intention in the Second Amendment. How could the American Revolution have taken place if the country, the colonies, had agreed to control by George III or had that imposed on them? Now, just let me finish by saying, I am not here addressing my audience and saying, quote, go out and collect weapons and start a revolution now, period. The balance of physical forces, armed troops that would be against such a move would squash any such rebel in 5 seconds. All that I am saying is in theory. We're moving fast. You still have the right to make a choice to buy a gun and learn to use it and be prepared. It's true. And the most important thing we can do is to foster ideas. And I agree with Ayn Rand that there should be no break with and no uprising unless there is censorship, because then at that point we can't promote ideas anymore. But I think the point has come where it is not pure theory to take all conditions of the world and the possible acts in it into account. Seems that I have used the entire podcast for this issue, but I did feel very strongly about it.